Okay, and how far would they be separated usually?
You can do it over 30 foot and be satisfactory for the 50 poles.
About every 30 feet. That's a foot, all right.
Now, a lot of times they put them closer than that, where they would, back in our days, it wasn't like it is now. We had plenty of my father owned about a little bit of 1,100 acres.
Is that right?
You get out there, we didn't have to make a track on somebody. These days now, you know, it's lucky you wouldn't even want you to make a track on it.
Right? Yeah.
You got it close to. We could roam free.
Yeah.
Spend the whole day in that area, home to go back to that.
I see, yeah. And there was no problem. Did you have your hogs branded, earmarked?
Oh, yeah, that was back before I knew much about it. Yes, it had been marked. Yes, they would mark his ticket in a certain way, or he'd brand them, the cattle, and whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they roam too far. They'd usually catch them, bring them home, you know, maybe they'd come home for the night. Most of the domestic animals, you know, animals would go where, where their master was. And then there's a lot of them that was wild, I guess. I imagine there's still wild hogs in the mountains area.
Did they call those anything besides wild hogs?
Well, they did, I think, stuck some areas up here with the Russian boar.
I heard about them doing that in Tennessee. They did that in Georgia, too, huh?
Well, I think so, but Tennessee and Georgia is not the fair part of what
they No, that's right, yeah. What I was wondering is if you ever heard of anything called either a razorback or a piney woods rooter.
Yep, I'm very familiar with that name.
Okay.
That's just the expression. The razorback, you couldn't hardly see his head was about half of him.
Uh-huh.
Had long snouts, you know.
Yeah.
They used that snout for their feeding purposes. I went down sometimes to Fort Stewart, that's down south there, in Liberty County. And you can see where them old hogs are dipped in pine. Is anyone up pine moss seed or something? The whole thing, you can just see where they tore up the woods. They've got a good head on them, they know how to use
When they, getting back to the house for a minute, what did you call the things that you'd, different kinds of things you used for carrying water and milk?
Well, I had a bucket and a strainer.
Yeah.
Maybe a funnel. A pail.
Now, how did a pail differ from a bucket?
Well, it all means the same thing. A pail usually is a wooden container, and most of the buckets back in them days was made out of cedar or something, you know.
And do you ever remember anything called a piggin? It's a kind of little bucket that might
have... yes. And a hogshead.
Hogshead was the bigger...
I think that's a large barrel, barrel-like container. I think that what you spoke there was a small container, maybe to put lard or some cooking material in it. Small.
Well, it's the kind of a thing that they often, you know, let's put the milk in when they were milking, so it would be, in case the cow kicked it over, she'd only kick over the small one.
Oh, no, you get me.
How about the thing, an old bucket that might have outlived its usefulness for carrying water, and you used it now for scraps to feed the hogs? Yeah, right, slop bucket. And now, and a utensil, we were talking about this before, a man came over here looking for one, a thing used for frying eggs.
Oh, yeah, fry pan.